Hey everyone, we're pumped to be able to share an exclusive trailer with you after the show. From Blue Wire Studios comes Golden Goal, Stories of Soccer Legends, narrated by fellow Blue Wire host Brandon Kelly. Yes, that's me. I'm Brandon Kelly. Each Monday, two new episodes will take a look at some of soccer's biggest stars and the moments that defined their careers. From Haaland, Zlatan, Messi, Rapinoe, and many more, each episode will focus in on the historic plays and personalities that make this sport great. So stay tuned after the episode and listen to Golden Goal, Stories of Soccer Legends, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hail Cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I am pleased this week. So it is often said of the Always Cheating Podcast that it's a duet between Josh and Brandon. But this week we are introducing a jazz flautist to come in and solo on our duet. It's the FPL mayor. You'd know him as @UtterlyTC on Twitter. Tom Campbell, Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast.
Thank you very much, Brandon. That's quite the introduction. And hey, Josh, as well. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, the Jethro Tull of the Always Cheating Podcast. Thank you. Thanks for being on, Tom. You and I have never done a podcast together. I know you've done a couple with Brandon. I think one even earlier this season. Excited to have you on. We have 3 weeks left to go. We're actually, we're only 9/10 of the way through the current game week. But I want to talk to you about the final 3 weeks. I want to talk about the relegation battle. But I do want to lead things off with this tweet that we got from Oshan Go. We're recording this just after the Bournemouth-Leicester match. And he said,
what a match that was.
Quite a match. He said, 2 goals each this weekend for Deeney, Trezeguet, McGoldrick, and Solanke. That is just a flat-out improbable sequence.
You didn't know we were playing a fantasy championship, did you?
Yeah, it's wild. So, Tom, and that doesn't even include 4 goals from Antonio. So, Tom, you're a West Ham fan. How are you? How were you feeling after the West Ham match, and how are you feeling now that every team that they're competing with
won? So West Ham to finally win a game so handsomely against a granted abject Norwich side, play fantastically well, totally deserve that thumping win. And then you fast forward like 2 days and it counts for nothing. So still all to play for with the big Watford game on Friday, and it's going to go to the wire. I was not confident, haven't been at any stage this season really, but it was nice to finally win. I thought West Ham actually acquitted themselves really well in the Burnley game. I know they lost 1-0, which is obviously a terrible result, but I thought it was coming.
Burnley quite good though, that we have learned, especially this week, we cannot underrate Burnley.
No, that's a good point. And I thought West Ham played pretty well in that game without didn't manage to get through the FPL darling that is Nick Pope, if you own him, which I do not. So that was doubly painful there. But the relegation battle goes on, and I think it will go to the wire.
I feel like each week on the Always Cheating Pod, we have to issue a thinner-esque curse to somebody in the league. And this week's Always Cheating thinner-esque curse goes to David Moyes. It will never go right for him.
No.
And he does look like he's withering away in front of our eyes.
Yeah. I remember one podcast you did, Brandon, you mentioned that your wife came in on a match that you were watching and David Moyes happened to be on screen and said, "He looks tired," and that was years ago. So you fast forward a few years and he's been through a relegation and stuff since then. So it doesn't bode well for us, but we'll see. It was a good result at least.
So I have always thought that Antonio was too expensive in the game. I think he was like 6.7 a couple weeks ago. Now he's up to 7, which is actually his original starting price. He only ever fell to 6.9. I guess because his ownership was never that high. But do they actually get his price right now? I mean, he's on 8 goals and 4 assists. I always thought that 7 was a little high.
So what it is there, I think, Josh, is at the moment he's playing up front. Like Haller's just coming back from injury, and there's some question marks as well over his contract and what have you. But he's in a position now with Bowen playing on the right, whilst Yarmolenko is not quite forcing his way into the team, where he sort of carved out that niche. And I think if you say he's a 7 million forward who's getting the points of a midfielder for the extra, you know, extra point for a goal and the clean sheet, should West Ham ever get one of those, which you can never really bank on, it's probably a sweet spot, I would say, for his price in that system, you know?
It's wild. I mean, just hundreds of millions of dollars in these relegation and promotion battles. Huge. And I mean, it comes down to one hot player, basically, right? Yeah. I mean, if you have a hot player, maybe Solanke, apparently. I've always thought he stunk.
But quite rightly.
He looked okay today. Yeah,
he did, yeah. Antonio,
you love Solanke, so...
I've always been a fan of Antonio. He tries so hard, and he plays with a smile on his face. And he came back from one prolonged injury, and he just had way too much muscle mass and was not very mobile and stuff, and it didn't really suit him. And then he's trimmed down. As I say, we've got this system where it seems to be working for him. But it's probably total reliance on him.
He just has a sensational nose for goal. He's so good in the box. And I feel like when we first saw him in the league, he was more of a wide player, but
it's sort of like needs must
for West Ham. Yeah. He's looked so good centrally for you. Let's move into our game week 35 plus scores. For those of you who aren't familiar with Tom, I just want to point out what a fantastic FPL manager you are. You have over, since you started playing or at least logging scores in 2008, you have three top 10K finishes in FPL. How does that rank in terms of game week 35 plus for you, Tom? Are you happy with how things are going heading into this Manchester United match?
I'm not. No, it's been another chastening game week. There's been too many of those since the resumption, to be honest with you, Brandon. I've not managed the team very well for the majority of the season, actually. I've sort of doubled my overall rank since football resumed, so that's not cool. And this game week, I was so confident with my captain choice. I watched the West Ham Burnley game, and I thought Burnley didn't look great defensively. I think Ben Mee being missing I thought was a big deal. I thought we looked good. And then obviously Mo Salah destroyed Brighton, and I was very confident he would start this because of the golden boot race. So I was just like, do you know what? In my position, with a lot of people understandably captaining Bruno Fernandes, KDB, etc., I thought I'd go for Salah, and he's returned a two-pointer. So that game was a really tough watch for me, but it's basically contributed to a game week score of a colossal 32 points. So, you know, go me. with admittedly three to go tomorrow, but I'm not convinced that's actually going to see any rank improvements, because as I think the captaincies there are going to be pretty big.
Right. What big ownerships there. I mean, to your credit, Salah had lots of big chances in that Burnley match, and Nick Pope just decided to go for the England's number one spot in one match. Yeah.
That guy, he's been harming me, and I think a lot of people. There you go. Right. So tough game week.
How about you, Josh? How you doing?
Well, yeah, and just what Tom said, I think because I've been thinking about this recently, and Tom and I were talking a little bit about before the start of the podcast about both of us being a little frustrated with this season, and I'm trying to be like a little more like process focused, you know, and I actually think like your rationale for captaining Salah was. Very legitimate, you know, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's how I captain Anthony Martial tomorrow. I mean, we'll see what that looks like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was sort of the same rationale. It was like, you know, I thought he looked super goal hungry in the midweek match. He was kind of angry to be taken off, and then Ole.
He's always angry,
said afterwards. He's always angry. That's true. And I'm like, at this point, it's like, like 2 weeks ago, I was like, I hate this guy, and now I'm captaining him. You know, so like, I don't even know where I am right now, fantasy wise. But I'm trying to be a little more like process focused, and Mo Salah could have had a 20-point return yesterday. He could have easily had two goals, could have easily had two assists. I mean, he set up Salah and Firmino for great chances. I think in both cases they may have hit the post, or at least I think Firmino did, if not Mane. And Salah had a couple, you know, that little kind of bobbled ball that he hit in the upper right corner that Pope.
Yeah.
Just barely, you know, a keeper who's even an inch shorter doesn't get that, you know.
So it was the one at the end, Josh. That was the one that was really the one with Trent's cross at the end, which didn't actually feature on Match of the Day. But that was the one where I was just like, that would have been so sweet, because obviously with Alexander Arnold being benched, then coming off and picking up an unlikely late assist for your captain would have been great. But I think this whole season for me is going to be a, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda type deal. It's not been
a write-off.
So Yeah, I think so. I think so. But the thing is, I can't write it off because it's going to be... Brandon's just made reference to my history, so it's going to be there for everyone to see.
Yeah, right.
Which is nothing I can do about that.
Who cares? There is a tyranny... Okay, I wasn't even going to talk about this, but let's just do it.
Here we go. Clear the lane. Yep.
there is a tyranny about like your history as a fantasy manager and your overall rank and your historical... results, and I just don't buy any of it. And I feel like when it comes to the people that I listen to or the people that I trust, it's just, you know, I'm listening to the words they say and not the, like, you know, it's like I don't listen to someone because they went to a good school or whatever, right? It's like I'm listening to the content, not the bona fides that lie behind it. And so, you know, who cares? You know, I mean, good. I feel like that's how I feel anyway. And I think that there's kind of this rise of like, oh, well, I've had, you know, three top 5K finishes. And so I am a voice that you should listen to on these things.
It's used as currency, isn't it? Yeah. It really is. Yeah. And it's not cool. No, I agree with you.
I have to tell you, I was watching this show on Netflix. Stop me if you've heard of it. Alone. It's this reality show in which 10 contestants are dropped in the wilderness. This particular season I was watching, it was somewhere in the Arctic zone of like the farthest northern regions of Canada. And the players, the contestants, they have tools. They have, I think they are allowed 10 tools and they have clothes, but they have to build a shelter and they have to catch all of their own food. So most of the season is just these players setting snares to try and catch rabbits. And each time you catch up with one of these contestants, they're just in this horrible emotional state of, I'm starving, my body is withering away. They come upon a snare here or a snare there, and they haven't caught anything. They're getting very stressed out. And then they come upon another snare, and they've actually caught a hare, a small hare with a little bit of meat on it. And they invariably burst into tears, and they're so happy. And they're like, I needed this so badly. And I look at Troy Deeney in my front line in 35 with his 13 points, and it feels like I caught one of those hares. And it is, I think, a strained metaphor for being an FPL manager. You're out there every week setting snares. And you're trying to catch something, and sometimes we don't admit how much of a game of survival this is.
But you caught one. Yeah. It's great. You caught one. That's it, Brandon. Do you know what? I was listening to your Patreon.
I can eat for another week.
You can. I was listening to your Patreon Kitchen Table Session podcast when you started talking about bringing in Troy Deeney, which is the first I knew that you'd done that. So, you know, obviously knowing that I'd be on the show tonight, I was super stoked to see him score. Obviously it's terrible news for West Ham that he put away those two penalties and kept the relegation fight very much alive. But I was chuffed for you that you'd be able to, you know, wax lyrical about that at least. On
sure.
I've just realized my game week total is actually 34 because Jimenez picked up 2 bonus points. So, you know, you can take that 32 points and we can increase that by 2. So kudos and go me.
I mean, I'm not doing much better. I'm on 30. I do have my captain to play tomorrow and Fernandez and Greenwood, but so I'm not I'm sort of in the same boat. I don't really know what the what a good game week score is before this Man United match. You know, I feel like it's very much up in the air still.
Yeah.
Oh, it's somebody who has Sterling and Antonio. It's something around 75 points, I think. I can tell you.
Right. But that's certainly not the average. I mean, I think Antonio's ownership is like 2% overall. Yeah. And even Sterling, I don't think it's crazy high. I bet it's under 20%. If I pull it up here, 17%. So, you know, not crazy either.
No. So there we go, Brandon. Yeah, 34 points. How about you? How'd you go?
Excellent.
Talk to us about your success with Troy Deeney.
Let's hear this glory story.
Yeah, Troy Deeney's 13 points have taken me to the heady heights of 39 points on this game week. And what's interesting is on this episode of the pod, we have 3 differential captains. It's Tom Wasala, it's Josh with Martial, and I decided I have the least logical captaincy choice in Marcus Rashford. And Dave on the Patreon pod was giving me stick about this, where my logic is, well, people just want to be nice to Marcus Rashford and they want him to score to build his confidence. there is the added bonus of it looks like he's next up in the penalty taking rotation between him and Bruno. So there it is. I'm really hoping that he can at least give me another 50K rank boost if he happens to go off in the match tomorrow. So we'll see.
I liked it. I like that you did it. It's very unlike you to try to be a little different with your captain pick. So I thought it was when I saw that, I was like, all right, like I can root for this, Brandon. I'm like, actually, maybe not too hard because I don't even have Rashford on my team, but I'll root for you a little bit. You know, like I won't be I'll applaud the gusto, if not the results.
I intoned the Patreon pod. So let's do a quick plug for the Patreon before we get into this week's theme of the three game weeks remaining and the big questions that surround. So Patreon, of course, we're doing the extra bonus pods every week. That's two podcasts a week if you're a Patreon supporter. And every game week, we're doing a prize for our top scorer in the Patreon mini league. So that's 9 game weeks and 9 prizes. We're giving away a mug of your choice from the Always Cheating Shop. And of course, access to our Slack to continue the FPL strategy conversation whenever you want. So for more information on that, go to patreon.com/always cheating. Thank you, Tom, for your continued support of the Always Cheating Patreon.
And merch.
Pleasure.
He bought some merch, yeah, too.
I was about to say, if that's why I was brought on the show to give you a genuine feedback for these mugs. I mean, I used that mug today. It was fantastic. So, yeah, I'm a excellent big fan of the merchandise. And, people should definitely subscribe and get amongst it.
Thank you, Tom. Thank our new Patreons this week, Josh.
We have 3 new patrons this week. A new Volkswagen patron, which is always exciting. Kedrick Murr. I think Kedrick will get a shirt out to you ASAP.
Yeah, definitely.
Lord Sorloth patrons. We have Christopher Akins and Ellen Tapper. So thank you to our new patrons. The Always Gene Super League, with the tomorrow's match being such a big one, so many captains in there, we're going to skip that. We will post on social media though where we are, because it's really we're getting really down to it now. We have 3 weeks left, and we have a midweek round of fixtures. We have one of those awful drawn out game week 37, so it'll take place over like 6 days. And then game week 38 is Sunday, so we're actually we're down to 2 weeks left in the Premier League season, which is good and bad. It's fun to have the matches on. It's also hard not to watch them when they're on all the time. So that's it's a plus and a minus, I think, sometimes. But let's take a quick break, and we're going to get back. And what we're doing this week is we're answering the big questions with 3 weeks remaining. We've got some questions from listeners. We have a few that I just put on there myself because these are the things I'm thinking about too. So let's take a break and answer the big questions. Okay, we're back. Answering the big questions, 3 weeks left to go. Matches kick off on Tuesday, and Tuesday is a pretty big one, actually. It's Chelsea playing Norwich. Not a big one from a pure entertainment standpoint point of view, possibly, but a big one from a fantasy point of view. So we have a few big questions for the last 3 weeks of the season. And just to kick things off here, all 3 of us have had seasons. I think all 3 of us have had seasons that are a little bit worse than last season, although, maybe there's we can make up a little bit of ground still. So just an opening question here, which is with 3 weeks left, I guess 3 weeks plus 1 match tomorrow, what are your current season targets? So starting with you, Tom, what are you targeting for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I thought that's a good question to start things off. So my overall rank at the moment is around about 200K. Like you say, we've got another game to play, and I'm not expecting to do well out of that, really. So I feel like 100,000 places in 3 game weeks is exceptionally unlikely. So I think for me, the main target for me now is to actually just have a good bench boost game week. I still have that chip in play. So that would be cool to have a successful game week when I choose to use that. I think hitting the captaincy for the last 3 weeks of the season would be another good sort of string to the bow. And I'm also in the FPL Generals mini league, the Elite 64. And as you can imagine, with a season like that, I'm not tearing it up at all. So avoiding being relegated from that would be another goal. I think it's the bottom 10 spots Mark tends to rotate out. So that's far from a guarantee. So probably just those 3 for me, Josh.
Just about the captaincy, Tom, that you're talking about, hitting the captaincy in the next 3 game weeks. What does that mean to you? Because I am so used to thinking about the captaincy hand in hand with competition. So if I'm looking to rank increase, I need to maybe be differential with my captain. And what is this idea of freeing yourself from those FPL managers around you and just focusing on hitting the captaincy who you think is going to get the most points? Is that actually your goal? Just the tried and true best captain?
Exactly. So I think if you take away your competitors and overall rank and all the rest of it, if you, at the end of the day, when you're picking a captain, I think the only question really that you're trying to answer is, who do you think will score the most points in that game week? Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to pick, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So if you pick the player who ends up achieving that, I think that's kudos to you. Like, I was moaning to Josh beforehand about picking Mo Salah, but I still think my logic in the last one was solid. And like he said, I think he was generous saying how many points he could have got, but that was a reasoned choice there. It didn't come off. I think having a good reason behind each of the captaincy picks, you know, 3 for 3 would, it feels unlikely. But yeah, having that, I think would definitely make me feel pretty good about how I've managed my team, which is just not something I can say that I've felt for the majority of this season. So that's where I'm at really, Brandon. It's just picking the person correctly who scores the most points in my team on each of the final three game weeks.
Yeah. I'll quickly do my goal.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. You go first. Yep. Sorry.
I'll quickly do my goals and then we'll kick it over to you, Josh, for your, you're not really good at shooting for the stars, are you, Josh? You're hoping to finish the season.
Steady
I know.
As she goes. Yeah. I wasn't going to talk about my goals. I was actually just going to say just very quickly. So I have an announcement to make for the pond, Brandon.
Which oh my is, God. Okay.
I think it is time for us to retire the word differential, because when people listen to the pod for the first time and they're not fantasy experts, they never know what that word means. It's a slightly mm-hmm. odd word. So you guys are both familiar with late riser 12, right? This is a Pernell Seth.
Sure. Tremendous manager. Yeah.
Have a great season. And so he has been doing these columns and he refers to upside picks. And that is the term that he uses for he's not necessarily talking about captains, but just sort of upside, like picks that mm-hmm. have like, you know, and the implication is that these are sort of low ownership players with upside, with upside potential. And so I like the idea of us retiring differential and using upside moving forward, because I just think it's more clear what that means, you know? And so I think,
Late Riser hasn't been in touch with the Library of Congress or anything like that. We're not infringing on his intellectual property.
Not that I know of. Now we'll have to call our local congressperson to make sure that we can do this, but I think it's worth
I like that. Okay. That's cool. That makes sense. By the way, I know there's a question later on in the running order as well about the best captains for the final three game weeks as well. So, which I liked thinking about that in terms of, like, Brandon's question is, you know, how do you think about making your captains? And I think there's different ways that you can try and do it, sort of a safer pick, which people traditionally call, like, you know, shield pick and what have you. But so I've had some thoughts around that, and I think there's different ways that you can try and tackle that you know, for each of those final three game weeks, depending on where you're at. And I'm trying not to use that word now, Josh, but there's different ways that you can find players who might not be part of the commonly selected, you know, portfolio of players.
Okay, yeah, let's put a pin in that captain's conversation and come back to it. For me, I'm just tailing you a little bit, Tom. I'm around mm-hmm. 240K at the moment, and I tend to agree the ideal of breaking into the top 100K, that bare minimum, seems a little rough. So the three of us are actually in a head-to-head league together, and that is becoming my focus at this point, where we're utilizing the FPL site to do head-to-head, and they have a playoff option, which actually starts in game week 36. So you have 8 teams in at the top of your head-to-head league that enter into the playoffs starting in 36, and then it goes into a semifinal in 37, and then the final between the two top managers in game week 38. So that's really my only opportunity to gain some pride and some cash back this season. That will be my focus.
Well, I'm doing my best to help you because you kicked my ass 2 game weeks ago. So pleased to be contributing to that. Yeah.
As far as my goals go, definitely finishing the top 100K. Beyond that, I don't really know. I mean, I feel like I'm just going to kind of shoot for the moon a little bit with my captain picks the final 3 weeks and sort of and just try to be different and try to get that those moments that you get, you know, when you're really bold and it actually works. I'd say
when you catch a hair.
Yeah, when you cut your hair. Yeah. And don't get snagged. Yeah. And so, I think honestly, when you're really bold, it probably only works about 20% of the time. It's not the ratio is not great. But when it pays off, it's a great feeling. And so, we'll see with Anthony Martial tomorrow. But for me, I was talking about process earlier and just making good decisions. And I don't know that I feel like I need to make sensible decisions down the stretch, but I feel like I want to at least make what I think are smart, interesting decisions. And if I do that, I'm not super concerned about where my overall rank is. What I don't want to do is just be super safe and just sort of play out the stretch. You know, I feel like I want to sort of, especially when it comes to like my free hit chip, I want to be, try to be different, try to have sort of a unique, team that I put together for that. So, so that's where I am. Those are my goals. And so a question for Tom, FPL Mikey says, if you are too far from your target finish, but still at a respectable overall rank, what kind of moves would you make?
Yeah, I liked this question from FPL Mikey. I think, and the way I thought about it was, I think I try and target high ceiling players, proven players, with a proven FPL track record of, returning high points in any given game week, who you've an opportunity to captain in the final three. So there are some really nice games remaining that sort of fit that criteria, I thought. I think like Chelsea just put in an abject performance, but I really think that people are going to focus more on that rather than how good Sheffield United were. Like Chris Wilder's awesome, and he's made that team so well drilled, and that's probably doing them a disservice. They're just a really good football team, and they made Chelsea look pretty amateur. But that doesn't mean to say necessarily that Chelsea are a terrible side. I think they are.
Just to jump in on that Chelsea-Sheffield United match, Tom, I thought there was an interesting piece of commentary during that match about how this Sheffield United team has been together for hundreds of matches, and they've been playing Chris Wilder's same system for that many matches. And then you match that again up against Chelsea, and this squad, they have some new pieces, they have a new manager. And if you look back, they've had new managers quite a few seasons. They've been changing up systems since Jose Mourinho was last fired. You can see if they come up against a rock like Sheffield United, of course they're going to have a problem, and maybe that just doesn't explode what we know about Chelsea up to that point.
I also think it's wild. Perfect. I mean, Sheffield United have 3 wins in the last 4 and a draw in the other match. They are only 5 points off a Champions League spot right now with 3 to go. I mean, it's very unlikely, but it's incredible that they are that close to a Champions League.
It is, and they deserve all the credit in the world for that. They really do. I've been so impressed by them. They've got their core complement of players, other than Lundstrom, who I think did make the bench in the last game, back together to fall back into that system that you mentioned, Brandon, as well. Yeah. And I think they really did make Chelsea, as I say, look pretty poor. But to bring it back to FPL Mikey's question, I don't necessarily think that they are a bad side, particularly offensively. Like, they've lost 11 Premier League games this season, which is like a serious amount of games to be losing if you're competing for the top four. And they're not just competing, they're still actually third as of today's recording. So that's a lot of games to lose, but they're still an offensive, offensively, I still think they're relatively attractive, especially when you consider that they play Norwich in game week 36. So I think targeting a player there, use your names, don't need to necessarily go into them, I think would be sensible. Man City versus Bournemouth as well, and Man United versus Crystal Palace. These are just games that I picked out for Mikey. But I think finding a player with a proven FPL track record and selecting them in a fixture in which you're intending to captain them is how I try and tackle, how he phrased his question.
Okay, I think I'm going to segue into the next question, because you've raised some good points there, Tom, but I have concerns about Chelsea. As good as you say they are, they do have some tougher matchups coming up after Norwich. It's Liverpool and Wolves. You've got City, who have Bournemouth, but we have rotation concerns, especially with City and Chelsea by that fact, and Manchester United all and Arsenal all having FA Cup fixtures the weekend immediately following game week 36. So we've got all these players that we can zero in on for 36. Does that mean 36 is the ideal week for a free hit?
What do you reckon, Josh? Or do you want me to come in with my view?
Yeah, well, it's certainly something I'm thinking about. And mm-hmm. I think that the Man City playing such a strong team in 35 really mm-hmm. does make things tricky because ideally in a free hit, you would want to have three Man City players for their home match against Bournemouth in 36. And which three do you pick now? It feels like a very tricky thing to decide. It would not surprise me if all of Jesus, KDB, and Sterling did not start in Game Week 36. There's just kind of no reason for them to. They've all played a bunch of matches recently. Maybe Sterling is the most likely of the three to start because he was just rested. And so I think that I don't know. I think it's really tricky. And I think for me, I'm actually kind of leaning towards it right now. And part of the rationale is actually because of Man City. And my thinking is I don't have Foden. I don't have David Silva, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so there, it would be kind of fun to have three really unique mm-hmm. players from Man City for Game Week 36. But I don't really want those players long term. And I don't really want to drop KDB and Mahrez because I suspect there's a good chance they play in 37 and 38, especially if they're rested in 36. So I think it's really tempting. And I also don't have any Chelsea coverage. And, you know, they play Norwich in Game Week they play Norwich on Tuesday, and it's the first match to kick off Game Week 36. And so there's a reasonable chance we'll get a leaked lineup for that match mm-hmm. as well, you know, very late in the game, like 15 minutes to go. But if we do, then you can kind of double check and confirm that, you know, Pulisic, Willian, whoever are starting that match. I actually think Giroud is an interesting pick for Game Week 36, especially, you know, if he's announced as a starter. And,
he's got to be nailed on for a starter. Tammy has been so bad since the restart. Yeah.
It's tough for me to watch Tammy because he was on loan at Bristol City, which is the stadium for where they play their home games is like 2 minutes from my house. And he was on loan there and was fantastic in the Championship. And he did start the season well, didn't he, in mm-hmm. the Premier League this season. But he's been so bad. Yeah, so bad for so long. Yeah. I think you're right, Josh. I think free hit for me, I think it would either be 36, and I think I would lean that way, or mm-hmm. 38. I think there's a case to be made that you could get team use, maybe, but is security of selection enough? Like, if you get the City team news, then you know, yes, I think it would be, but can you guarantee that? I'm not sure that you can. I really don't like 37 though, because of, as you say, Josh, how drawn out it is, and over such a long period with FA Cup games in the middle as well. I don't like that. I think Brandon, you're absolutely right. Like, Chelsea's not a team that I would say be relying on for each of the final three game weeks. I think it was, if you had an opportunity to bring one in now for Norwich, great. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the leak that Josh mentioned does play out if you're going to do that. Yeah. And then you could move off them for 37 potentially. It was just, you know, that's what I was saying. Just target a fixture where you can captain a player with a big upside is where I was at. And I think a free hit, I think 30 of the final three, I slightly favor 36 over 38, and I would not recommend 37.
What do you think, Brandon?
I'm looking at these fixtures. So we've got fixtures for 36, 37, 38 pulled up in front of me, and the team that I keep coming back to is Liverpool, and Liverpool play Arsenal in game mm-hmm. week 36. And the big takeaway, I think, for all of us from the North London Derby is just not the takeaway, but just a very forceful reminder of how awful Arsenal's mm-hmm. back line is, particularly in the middle. You look at Mustafi and David Luiz. So I'm just like loving the idea of Liverpool attacking Arsenal in game week 36. So mm-hmm. with Salah there, I think I'm comfortable. I think I have some pretty good matchups for my current squad. If I'm looking at just KDB for Man City, you know, he has rotations concerns, but you're saying, Josh, I agree, there are rotation concerns with all of the heavy hitters from Man City right now. Who am I going to pick? So suddenly I follow Liverpool's fixtures all the way to game week 38, where they play Newcastle mm-hmm. at Anfield, their last match in Anfield in this title winning season. I feel like that's going to be a really strong lineup. I think it could go anyway. Maybe that's the perfect opportunity to give Curtis Jones a chance to absolve all of his sins that he committed against Burnley. But suddenly I think maybe that could be a fun opportunity to load up with Mane and Salah and Firmino and the like. And then you also look at Manchester City, who are at the Etihad against Norwich. So I'm like, I've gone all over the map with free hit over the last like 6 weeks. And I admit that I've probably said it every different way over the weeks on this podcast. Suddenly I am shifting my eye toward 38. And maybe it's because Tom is now talking me out of 37, which I think also has some decent fixtures. But
it does have good fixtures. Yeah, it does, Brandon. You're right. It's just the long drawn out nature, I think, is what puts me off there. And the fact that it's interwoven with the FA Cup as well.
I think the better fixtures are in 36 and 38, though. And
I agree.
The only thing that throws me off about a game week 38 free hit is that, A, it's relying on getting some actual league team news, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are always some funky lineups in game week 38. And it is also reliant, it's not reliant, but it's just like, we all know that game week 38 is a very unusual game week, right? At least it is in non-COVID times. The player who is the high scorer in that game week tends to, I think it was Trent last season game week 38, but in general, it's an obscure Theo Walcott, not that he's obscure, but Theo Walcott type ends up being the high scorer in that game week. It's, players who are fringe players get starts. I don't know how much we'll see that, this season. And I've posted about this before, but what's interesting about game week 38 is Wolves. I think it's Wolves play Man United and Leicester play Chelsea in game week 38. It's do I have that right? Is that
I think it's you've got it flipped. Yeah. Chelsea play Wolves and Manchester United play Leicester.
Right. That's right. I've got the fixtures right here. So you have four teams that are in theory all going to be competing for a Champions League spot that last game week. And so I think we're going to see some really strong lineups. I don't know what that turns into in terms of scoring, but I think it's so I don't know. I mean, I just think 36 feels like it's like a bird in the hand to the, like, I feel like I kind of know how I could put a team together on a free hit that was really good for 36. Fair and a game week 38, I'm like, is the team I just have right now maybe better actually than a team that I would put together for 38? So that's what's make me lean toward 36 right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think what I'm hearing from you guys as well is that the advice to the listeners would be 36 or 38 and avoid 37. That's what we're saying.
It seems that way. I think the last point I think on this, if you're looking at 36 or 38, is how cagey do you think those two matchups are going to be with great FPL teams? Chelsea, Wolves, and Manchester United, Leicester. United, you've got three players from United almost assuredly by the time we get to 38. Is their FPL output going to be muted because that will be a contentious match? Now, given what we just saw from Leicester against Bournemouth, I don't know. And the same would go for Wolves and Chelsea. I think even mostly for Wolves and Chelsea, I think that might be a really, really tight game. So then you move to just going all in on Liverpool and City, which I personally, for the free hit, I tend to focus on a week where it's not good matchups for players I don't have, but it's bad matchups for players that I do have. And so that is, I think, what's now currently pushing me to 38.
And you only have one City player too, right, Brandon?
Yeah, I just have KDB. And I think Ederson is weirdly like the second City player that I've been closest to getting over the course of the last few weeks. And a free hit sort of, it definitely allows you to do that. And I just don't see how Norwich are going to be scoring on them.
No, I think either way you go, Brandon, you'll want to have at least two, probably three Man City for 38, right? That seems to make sense. I think just to your earlier point as well about Salah for 36 as well, he would definitely be in my free hit team if I was free hitting for 36. So I think you make a really good case for him as well. But the gift that is Mason Greenwood and his price means that you should be able to keep your complement of Man United players anyway. And still be able to include him. So he would absolutely be in my free hit team for 36 for sure.
I think just one final note on game week 36. The one issue with it actually is in some ways that I want to have about 12 different midfielders for it. And I think it'd be slightly tricky who to put together because I feel like I kind of want to have Pulisic and Willian. Son plays away to Newcastle. He's pretty tempting. You have Man City playing home to. You have to assume Foden and probably David Silva will start for that one. Great to have those guys for that match. And then what are you going to drop all your Man United players? You probably want to have at least Bruno. So you're kind of in a tricky spot there where you really do want to be loaded up in the midfielders, but you can only, I would say, have five. Mm-hmm. And even then you end up having to bench someone like Greenwood, I guess, if you're playing five across the middle. So I think there's, you know, I think maybe, I actually hadn't thought about this before, but I wonder if that kind of dilemma actually makes 38 make more sense as a free hit opportunity, just because it's a little easier to balance your team out on the free hit. So I don't know.
I still think you can make, you be able to get your double Chelsea from, as you say, Giroud and maybe right. just Pulisic, or take a punt on one of the defenders. Even like, I wouldn't recommend that because I think their defense is like I say, 11 games. I just think that's kind of staggering to have lost 11 Premier League games and be in third. It's doesn't recommend their defense, does it, at all?
All of the clownish moments that Mustafi and David Luiz can put forth, Kepa can do it all on his own. What were they thinking buying a 4-foot-tall goalkeeper, Chelsea?
Yeah, it for just like seems... 100 and whatever million. It was really
in hindsight, it seems foolish. Yes.
Yeah. God, there's some bad goalkeepers, aren't there? And some horrible performances this game week in particular. Like Pickford was atrocious and Schmeichel. Yeah.
Brandon loves to go off on Kepa. It's really one of his favorite things. All right. So just to keep things moving here. We've talked about this a little bit already, so maybe we can just talk about this very briefly. But captain picks for the final 3 weeks, and I think game week 36 in particular is a really interesting challenge as far as who the best captain pick is. So just your own teams aside for a second, who do you guys think is the best? I mean, I can even reframe it. Just what player do you think scores the most points in game week 36?
Who's it to, Josh? Yeah. Who'd want to come in?
Yeah, good question. You guys just talk over each other, overlapping sound. How about we'll start with Brandon this time. Brandon, what do you think?
Well, so I was talking about this with our friend Dave. It's a matter of Bruno Fernandes and the confidence that you have in Manchester United going up against Palace. And I think seeing the Palace defense with, now that Mamadou Sakho is back in their lineup, just not really impressing me. In the 10 game weeks, so Bruno Fernandes has been in the league, in the FPL game for 10 game weeks, and he's got 5 double-digit hauls, and he's only blanked twice. This is
good.
Mo Salah levels of FPL consistency. It's unreal. So Bruno just feels like a great set and forget if you don't want to deal with this. And Palace in 36, West Ham in Old Trafford in 37, followed by that very important key match against Leicester in game week 38, though if I had to predict the way things are going for Leicester, that it could be moot at that point if Leicester can get into the Champions League. And the form just, it's like you're the chief Dragon Ball Z fan on this podcast, Josh, but I feel like as each week goes by, Bruno gets closer to Super Saiyan. Like he, for a player, And I know, Tom, you've been following Bruno's career before he got to Manchester United.
Big fan.
But now he is already a folk hero at Manchester United. It took him less than half a season to become a folk hero there. Yeah. And that's no joke in a place like Manchester. So I feel like he's only going to get more and more powerful before we hit the end of the season.
Yeah, I had him too, Brandon. I think he's a very compelling case you've made there. And think I thought Raheem Sterling, the home match against Bournemouth, is another one that you could look at off the back of a slightly fortuitous, I guess, hat trick, but he looks in incredible form.
Tom, talk us through, give us a play-by-play commentary on the third goal. That's
the third one. Did you guys see his tweet when he was like, oh, he's going to win goal of the year?
Did he say?
He was joking, saying that he, you know, practices this in training. It was going to win the goal of the year award. he's a good guy. It was
tremendous.
He's in great form. He's returned following the resumption in impressive form, and seems to be playing well without Sergio Aguero in the team. So I like him. I've put them down as shield picks, I think. But I think the one that I mean, you've mentioned Salah as well, Brandon. I really like that Arsenal game as well for Salah. I don't rate Arsenal's defense at all. And the other one was Danny Ings against Brighton.
Yeah.
So I think if you really wanted to mix it up, then Ings, it's a home match and they're actually relatively terrible at home, weirdly. Southampton, he's performs far better away from home, whether or not you guys give any credence to that, especially with there being no fans in the stadium. But his away returns against Norwich, Watford, I think it was, and Everton in the last their last three away games have been 11, 13 and 9 respectively, whereas home has not been good against tough sides, admittedly. Although I've just said Arsenal's defence is poor, but it was a 2-0 home loss, and then they lost to Man City as well. But I really like Danny Ings as well for the next one against Brighton.
And just look at, like, if you can bring in Ings against Brighton, 37, he has Bournemouth and then Sheffield United in 38. So Ings is...
Now's the time to do it. That's right.
Just, yeah, precisely. And I like that. And Hasenhüttl has come right out and said, we're backing Danny Ings for the Golden Boot race, as many minutes as we can give him. He's getting those 90-minute matches, and that's unprecedented for Ings.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous recommending him because we haven't seen the game play out against Man United tomorrow, and he could with Danny Ings, he definitely could get injured, but let's assume he's fine and people are sensible and they don't think I'm recommending bringing in and captaining an injured player, but... yeah, I think Ings against Brighton would be a pretty exciting one to go for.
Not libel us with the bookies there, Tom.
You guys have not listed the player that I think might be the best pick for Game Week 36, which is Christian Pulisic. Yeah. Pulled off early in the Sheffield United match. They play on Tuesday. They don't play in the FA Cup until Sunday. They're playing a terrible team, and he is in incredible form. And I just think that he is it's a little bit of a fear pick because he plays on Tuesday and the game weekends on Friday. And there's always something a little nerve wracking about having a captain pick the first day of a 4-day game week. But if you can get over that, I think that he is, I mean, the other way to look at it is if he does great, then the next 3 days are great. Definitely. You just sort of root for everyone to not do as well as he did. So I think that he is actually the one that I'm really seriously considering as a captain pick. I'm actually a little worried about Salah and the minutes. I don't know. Maybe not actually, because they don't play again until I think it's like midway through the next week, right?
Yeah, and they only have 3 matches, and their season is done. It's 3 and out
no
for them.
No FA Cup commitments. Yeah
no Champions true. League for them either. So minutes are a concern. They're always a concern. And that's why I'm also kind of eyeing up Pulisic. Willian has been playing nonstop. He's looked great, but it looked like he was quite winded at the end of 35's matchup against Sheffield United. And you think, could Chelsea do without him for one match against Norwich? Pulisic came off roughly around the 65th minute. I could see myself eyeing up that team sheet leak if it happens and quickly moving Willian to Pulisic and just going without Willian and seeing what Pulisic can do on his own.
Love the pick, Josh. It was right in line with what I said to FPL Mikey's question. So, no, definitely on board with the Pulisic pick as well, for sure.
And I think the next couple game weeks are pretty tricky for captains. And so let's just move on just keep the focus on 36 for now, especially with that game week kicking off in a couple of days. So we talked a little bit about this already, but let's just kind of put together what a free hit team could look like. This is something that FPL GMO asked us to say. If you were to free hit in game week 36, what would that team look like? So let's not belabor it too much, but just starting with the defense and moving forward, who would your goalkeeper be for game week 36?
I think probably the bluntest team right now for me look to be Palace. So I haven't thought about this much at all, Josh, but
yeah.
And it would absorb one of the Man United players, but I just can't see Palace scoring.
What do you think about Hugo Lloris though?
Who have they've got Newcastle. No, I don't like that pick because I'll tell you why, because I thought the Watford game against Newcastle were two bad defenses that were playing out against one another. I thought Newcastle had several good chances in that game. Almiron from memory and Saint-Maximin had good chances as well. And I'm not totally convinced on the Spurs morale and like the whole defense that Mourinho's put together there. I'm still not actually buying into that completely. So I don't know. It's for me, I think if the team I would say as I would most back for a clean sheet, Josh, would be Man United. So on that basis, I would go for De Gea. But I appreciate that that does take up a United slot, which might not be the most sensible thing to do.
I hear what you're saying, Tom, about Newcastle. So if we don't want to take up a United spot, how about Southampton? Now, Southampton mm-hmm. don't have the crispest, coolest defense on the planet, but McCarthy knows how to stop shots. Mm-hmm. I could see that, if not a clean sheet, being a 3-4 pointer. So McCarthy, cheap option, De Gea, rich man's option. Josh, you've got to make the decision for us here.
I'm leaning towards Ederson. I think that he's the pick. He's the one, mm-hmm. Home to Bournemouth. I know Bournemouth just put four somehow by some miracle scored. How did that happen? That is they did score two goals after the red card, but they had two goals before that. Like, how did they, I don't know how they scored four goals in that match.
So the commentary comes out and says, boy, what did Eddie Howe say to Bournemouth at halftime? They come out like a new team. And I thought that was the wrong take. I think, what was it that Brendan Rodgers did or did not say to that Leicester team? They came out seemingly thinking that they were God's gift to football and they were just going to walk the next 45 minutes. And yeah. I think all credit goes to Brendan Rodgers for that humiliation. That team was not ready at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. What is the reverse credit or something?
Josh, would you be able to recommend Pope? I mean, I know that he's stung both of us and it's not something I really want to do, but what do you think about his fixture?
Well, that's a great question. I think that's fine. I think he's an excellent choice. I'm leaning towards, just because I am thinking about a free hit personally. And so Ederson is the one I lean towards just because I Man City's defense has actually looked quite solid recently. And I don't think I'm going to have room for three attacking players from that team in a free hit. I think Pope is always a good pick, so I think it's fine. I feel like on a free hit, I might actually go with someone like Charlie Taylor, just because he's so cheap and almost certain to start. I thought that Wolves looked pretty good today.
They did.
And so
maybe they
have a lot to play for, whereas Burnley are just good, but they don't necessarily have, they just proved it in Liverpool. They went to Liverpool and they held on for a draw. They were celebrating at the end of that. I don't know if you guys saw, but they were a little they're raising their hands in the air like they achieved a major victory, which in some ways they had. You know, it was a really, it was a great performance.
Yeah, it's the first time Liverpool hadn't won at Anfield in months. So, yeah, it was was an achievement. Yeah, I like the Ederson pick as well. I'm surprised you advocated for it, Josh, because I thought you'd be all in on the City treble up attacking wise. But I guess it's hard to predict to know who's going to play. So Ederson, will.
That's the issue. Now, and some of them will come off the bench too. Maybe I don't want to overthink it a little bit. I mean, Sterling came off the bench and scored 10 points midweek last week. I'm not sure I would have Jesus, for example. He started a bunch of matches in a row. Why would you start him at home to Bournemouth? You know, to keep him fresh, I guess, but it'll only be a week between matches. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and so I guess by talking about the keepers, we sort of talked about defenses a little bit as well. And midfield, I think the big question of free hit would be how many Man United midfielders would you have? I mean, does Bruno feel like assuming he doesn't get injured or something tomorrow, is Bruno like an essential pick on a game 36 wild card?
100%. Yes. No question about that. I think it just stepping back to the defense real quick, as a Maguire owner, I wonder if on a free hit, you don't say, maybe you do equivocate or hedge or whatever word you want to use and go for a United defender and just Greenwood Bruno, Martial Bruno. I think a lot of this may depend on the form that we, of course, see against Southampton on Monday evening. But I think that would be the big question for me with United going into a free hit is it all attack or do you use one Man United of your three for defense?
Yeah, the good thing that's with Man United as well is Solskjaer is becoming really reliable. He knows his best 11 now.
Yeah,
He loves that, the 4-2-3-1 that he's got established there with Pogba playing alongside Matic. And then, the three ahead of them sort of picking themselves now that Dan James has lost that spot to Greenwood, rightly so. He's just going to keep rolling this team out. I'm convinced of that because they need this top four to sign Sancho in the summer. I think that's a prerequisite to signing him.
They will favor the game week 36 match over the FA Cup match on Sunday. Not that Ole couldn't just continue using that same starting 11 both midweek and in the weekend. Maybe we just see our favorite players subbed off around the 60th minute.
Yeah, that's what I think might happen, Brandon. I think he'll go with the same 11. The one person he might rotate won't impact FPL, in my view, which would be Matic. He may get rotated out for Fred or McTominay. But the others, I just can't see changing. Why would he? They're playing so well. I think it's 15 on the spin, unbeaten. As I say, in my view, they need this top four for their recruitment. And it's their best 11. It's not really debatable at this point. So that helps with a free hit selection. Yeah. I think you can be super confident in the players that you pick from.
They are the most fun team to watch right now in the league. Yeah. It's beautiful. It really is. And you know, it'd be interesting if they get not to good on this road, because we could talk about it forever, but like, you know, if they get Sancho, there's some really interesting choices they have to make. I mean, do you move Rashford back up front? I mean, Sancho's typically plays on the left, you know, so does Martial lose a spot? Does Rashford?
Josh, it's like at the moment when they bring someone off, it's really noticeable. Immediately they become back to that duo team that we remember. I think they need like players like Grealish or Madison, and Sancho obviously would be a starter.
Some competition in the squad, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's it, Brandon. So I was just wondering, has Man United ever been an attacking fun team for you guys since you started podcasting? Or I couldn't remember, like, because they've been in the doldrums relatively for us, a club their size, for so long.
Well, we started playing FPL a couple of years before Van Persie was moved Rooney still had a couple of decent seasons. Yeah. And I think when Van Persie moved to the club, Manchester United, they obviously won the league, and they were pretty fun to watch for
a bit. Were a great side. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There was maybe one match with Romelu Lukaku where they were fun to watch.
Big Rom. Maybe one. Yeah. I can't remember it, but I'm sure there was one.
It was like the start of one season, like 4 years ago, where he was. Yeah, that was it.
I'm glad you guys know that as well, because they are. You're absolutely right. They're the really fun team to watch right now. It's a sort of, if you're a neutral watching game, it wouldn't matter who they're playing. You'd want to be watching them play right now. So, yeah, Fernandes, of course, would be in the team. And then depending on your budget, I guess you'd include Greenwood as a sort of enabling function. He's great anyway, but at that price, he's just going to make the rest of the free hit team incredible.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and you never know who's going to, you know, especially at midweek like this. I think it does make sense to have a player of his quality. I mean, at his price, there's no reason not to. The question is whether you'd start him or not.
Yeah, and I think Solskjaer we'll just keep picking him. I know he's really young.
Yeah.
I know he's played a lot of minutes. I know there is a like-for-like in terms of someone who does play in his position in Dan James, but the form he's in and the stakes that are on the line, I can't see Solskjaer not starting him personally.
Pop quiz, guys. Mikel Antonio, free hit, 36. How wooed are you by those four goals? I saw Antonio's price rose right after that performance. You have complete freedom to bring Antonio in on your free hit. How compelled are you by that? I remember one of the other times I remember a weird oddball FPL asset getting four goals was Genie Wijnaldum when he was at Newcastle. And that was a... wow, that's incredible. I bet if you have Wijnaldum, that's like a huge week for you in FPL. Well, I'm still not bringing him in. So the idea of Mikel Antonio being a proper FPL asset after that performance with the three remaining weeks or a free hit in 36, yes or no?
Yes. I mean, for lots of reasons. Affordable out of like midfielder playing out of position as a forward. Playing probably the worst defensive team in the league, certainly one of the two or three. And also it's just fun, because if you're on a free hit, there's only one match on Friday, right? It's West Ham Watford ends game week 36. What a blast to go into it with a player like Antonio. Best goal celebration, shortest shorts, just a fun guy to root for, you know? So I 100% would have him in my team on a free hit.
The only thing I'd say against that, Josh, is that I've had sort of 30 years worth of disappointments from West Ham. So you're using logic and it makes sense, whereas I've seen what they do after winning 4-0 and him scoring all of them, and him blanking would not surprise me based on that. But playing Watford, I actually like him as an outright pick, just as a signing. Mm-hmm. Like the Watford game is great, as you say, like my facetiousness aside. Man United following that is not a great fixture, but you could see him scoring. If anyone did, it would be him. I'm not going to say it's a great fixture. It's not. But the last game's Villa as well. I think that game will matter. So I like him as a pick, and I think he's a reasonable price as well. I know it's more than you probably want to spend on a West Ham player, but like you say, playing up front, great confidence, and with 2 out of 3 fixtures to recommend him. So I like him as a selection.
All right, final. We actually didn't totally build our Game Week 36 free hit team.
I'm sure it's kind fine, of forgot Josh.
About it. I just started talking about that stuff. But just if you guys... okay, each give me one. We talked a lot about midfielders, so I think we can skip that, but... Forward line, let's say you've got Greenwood in there as one of the three. We need 2 more forwards to fill things out. Can you each give me one forward that you would want to have, maybe starting with Brandon, for Game Week 36? Who would you have in a free hit, Brandon?
Okay, I guess I'll take the easy one that we were just singing his praises, Danny Ings. Barring calamity against Manchester United Monday night, Danny Ings, home Brighton. Of course, Tom, you were talking about Ings favoring being... away from the St. Mary's.
Yeah, I know. It's probably not a lot on that, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other options that I see would be Rashford / Greenwood, and God forbid, are we going to go talk about Harry Kane against Newcastle? I'm not sure. Given what we don't know about the Manchester City rotation, that just brings me all the way back to Danny Ings. Can I talk you into Tom, welcome to my used FPL asset dealership.
Oh, yeah.
I see you're in need of a striker. Is that right? Have I got that right? You need a striker?
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I filled one in Danny Ings. I need one more. Yeah.
Listen, you know, I don't know how much money you have to spend. I'm thinking you, just looking at you right now, you've got somewhere in the ballpark of like 6.57 million to spend.
Let's go up to 9. Let's
go. Okay. Well, even so, I think I've got an FPL forward right over here that, like, it might look like it's a little beaten up, but trust me, just it doesn't have a lot of miles on the odometer, and it's going to do right by you. It's a model Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You want to take it for a test drive? You know, they're playing Aston Villa on Thursday.
Unfortunately, I've owned that car before for a long time, and it did not perform well for me. So I think DCL, they've got Villa. Villa have actually been quite improved defensively since the resumption, haven't they? I mean, it's not really worked for them in terms of accruing any points, but I guess they're
clean
still
sheet
in
today.
Still
touching. Yeah.
Clean sheet today. Yeah, so I don't actually think their defense is as abject as it has been for the rest of the season.
I'm going to get fired from my job. Thank you very much.
You gave it a good sell, but I'm not buying. I'll tell you who I would pick, Josh. I would go for Jesus. I actually think he looked a lot sharper against Brighton in that thumping win than he had done previously. I think he'll get minutes. Whether or not it's going to be the start, who knows, right? I mean... Remember the old lip sync acronym? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he'll start, but I think he'll play. And just getting any minutes against Bournemouth, I would fancy good chance for a return. So he would be in the free hit team alongside Danny Ings, I think, up front.
I'll just cast a vote for Olivier Giroud. If it leaks out that he's starting at home to Norwich, I think a great pick. He's cheap too, so you can use more money.
Everyone always wants the sexy French car. You know, there's a little bit of a markup to get that brand name luxury class European automobile, but so be it. You know, you're all about flash, Josh. I get it.
Ready for the Giroud five pointer, right, Josh? You know, the patent or favorite,
I know the classic, the Giroud starfish and five pointer. So Brandon used to say he always used to score, and then he would turn into like a human starfish. He did always on his back somehow with his arms and legs splayed.
That's true. Yeah, it's
usually after a fluff chance. Yeah, for sure.
right. So all right, one last question, then we'll close out this section. I'm dropping the other ones. Final question: best game week for a triple captain. It's got to be some managers out there with a triple captain, and just looking ahead, I don't want to spend 20 minutes on this, but just looking ahead, what seems like the best triple captain opportunity in the final 3 game weeks?
I had an answer for that. I think you'll like on this one, Brandon. Like,
go
you've
ahead,
been KDB's biggest fan for years and years, right?
Yeah, he's my beautiful baby boy.
Absolutely, and he's been killing it all season. He's like first to reach 200 points. He's going to get his best, I think he's already on his best return ever in terms of point returned. And Man City rather, play Norwich in the final game in game week 38. So I would advocate for KDB, triple captain, game week 38, and enjoy your inevitable huge returns.
I think it's solid, and you do wonder if he cares one iota about this assist record that he's kind of been within touching distance, it seems like, for a while. Yeah. He's pulling a Mesut Ozil, like seemed nailed on to break this record, and then it kind of slows down. KDB actually became more interested in scoring goals, which is very fun for FPL. Yeah. So I think I like that. I like the heavy hitters in game week 38. Salah, again, we've talked about, and they're playing Newcastle at Anfield. I think that there could be a huge goal tally for Liverpool in that match, with neither of them really having much to play for except maybe for personal records like Salah. The trick there, of course, has been I've talked myself into a free hit in game week 38, so I wouldn't be able to play two chips at once. So then I wonder if we can say, because 37 is so drawn out, does it become the official triple captaincy week if it's a non-free hit viable week? And there are some decent individual matchups. You look at Danny Ings against Bournemouth away from home in 37. That's a West Ham at Old Trafford for Bruno Fernandes, who cannot stop scoring FPL points.
Like that. Yeah,
even Salah at home to Chelsea. I think that's, you'd expect him to do well in that one too.
Do you know what, Josh? Yeah. That's a really good pick as well, because Chelsea would have played the FA Cup game on, I think it's the Sunday before as well.
Yep.
So whatever, presumably they're going to go full strength in that game. So I liked that as a captaincy pick in 37 for Salah. I know one of the other questions wanted to know about that. So a triple captain, why not? Based on that logic as well. Like we said, Chelsea's defense has not impressed for pretty much the whole season. So I like it.
So much of it depends on how much ground you need to make up. I mean, if you have a triple captainship to play and you are a mini league leader, then I would go with Tom's pick and just do KDB game week 38. I mean, how could that pick go wrong? Like, is he really going to get anything less than 8 points or something in that,
can't
in that
see it,
one?
Can you? You just can't. Yeah. You can't see it.
Yeah. You really can't. I agree. Yeah. Mm. It's amazing you didn't get anything in that Brighton match. 5-0 match.
But so close, like so many times throughout the game, like the free kick that hit the post and the assist.
Jesus off the crossbar.
Yeah. And the assist where it was tapped home, wasn't it? Prodded home from Rodri's header. So again, it could have been a huge haul. So very easily. So he's just a wizard. Love him.
All right, let's take a quick break and we're going to do a quick buy, sell, hold in our lightning round. Okay, gents, we'll be right back.
All right, guys, listen, sports are coming back. I mean, they're kind of back, but they're also still coming back, particularly here stateside. So this is your chance to bet on your favorite teams and events. And there's no better place for you to start than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Get in on the action for this week's big UFC fight, or check out odds on NASCAR, Formula One, and the Premier League. Can't wait for your team to come back. BetOnline has futures odds, including win totals, division winners, and even league championships. Or check out daily simulations on Madden and NBA 2K to watch and wager on. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
All right, we're back. Buy, sell, hold. It's our lightning round. We'll try to do this proper lightning round style. No longer than 20-second answers, okay? This whole section should take us about, well, what is 20? I have four questions here, so 20 times 4 is 80 seconds, a minute and 20 seconds. First one comes from Schiff. He says, given how bad Everton look, can you justify holding DCL if you still have him only because he plays Villa? So, Brandon, you threw this one out there already. You're a huge proponent of DCL in game week 36. Tom, what do you think? Can you justify holding DCL if you have him?
I can't. I'm saying sell. I think Villa are looking strong enough. I think they're still in contention for keeping their Premier League spot. So I think there's other options as well. There we talked about Ings if you don't have him as well, Greenwood if you don't have him, for example. Or you could go to Jordan Ayew, who's in my squad, genuinely, which is kind of remarkable. Mm-hmm. I think he's a sell. Is where I'm at. Yeah. I thought Everton were appalling today.
To be fair to me, I did sell my junker of a DCL for just like a big Troy Deeney pickup truck 2 weeks ago. So I'm enjoying driving around in this pickup truck with no shock absorption of any kind, but it's getting me to where I need to go.
Yeah.
DCL to Ings is would be the move if you have the money to do it. Yeah. I don't think it's like burn four territory, but I certainly wouldn't feel good about his chances going into gimmick 36. Sumat Naktar says, is Antonio a one-match wonder?
Brandon. Yeah. I feel like we kind of wondered if he was the next Genie Wijnaldum at Newcastle. Tom, you made a pretty compelling case. He is, if you look at West Ham, and West Ham still have a lot of fighting to do to remain in the league, they will need to score a goal or two. Mm-hmm. I think so maybe a way to fit Antonio in your team, you don't want to circumvent Chelsea assets in your midfield going into the Norwich match in game week 36. But with Wolves in 37, Wolves in 38, and it's what's the other tough match for Chelsea in 36? It's Liverpool. So I'm wondering if Antonio in for your Pulisic/Willian in 37 is a way to get some of that Mikel Antonio action without having to totally disorient your current FPL side.
I think Antonio is not a one match wonder. The one caveat I would add, just because, you know, I've obviously had a cause to watch a lot of West Ham as I always do. I really hope that Moyes keeps the formation and the personnel the same. There's going to be a temptation to start Yarmolenko, which would then put Bowen on the left, and I just don't think it works as well if Yarmolenko plays. And similarly, Haller is, as I said earlier, is back in contention as well. So if he starts messing around with this, I think Antonio becomes less attractive, and I think West Ham ultimately become less effective. And there's a chance he would do that. Believe as perverse as it sounds, after a 4-0 win, I still think he might try and alter things, and I think that would impact Antonio. But I think him in of itself at 7 million, I think he is. No, I don't think he is a one match wonder. I think he's a good selection for the final three game weeks.
I agree, and I think at his price. I mean, you mentioned 7 million. I think at his price, I think that's it. You know, it doesn't upend your team to bring him in, and so no. I think and certainly on a free hit, I would be targeting him.
Well, who would you bring him in for, Josh, in your side currently? How would you fit Antonio into your team?
Yeah, well, it's easier on a free hit for sure. Mahrez to Antonio, I think would be a move that I would consider. Fernandez, Martial, De Bruyne, those players are pretty locked. I mean, it's part of the reason why a free hit is tempting in 36, because I kind of want to have those players for the rest of the season.
That's just kind of why I'm looking at the Chelsea midfielders map perfectly onto Antonio's price point. So I just wonder if there's a way to wait for 1 week. But yeah, as you say, Josh, to play the free hit in 36, you can get away with it. You can have Antonio for the next 3 weeks and not have to move a great. You can then move a Chelsea midfielder in 37.
The problem with bringing Antonio in 37, though, is that's the Man United game. So you'd get the Villa game in 38, but you'd miss the Watford game in 36. So
I feel like another reason why the free hit is maybe tempting, right? Because you can get Antonio for just the 1 week.
For just the one. And in a huge, it really is such a huge game, that one on Friday. I'm really nervous about it, but we'll see. And he's a player who we'll be relying on. I just wonder whether or not Pearson, who's a good defensive manager, will inevitably spend this week now looking at ways to try and stifle that and try and target stopping him, because it is everything through Antonio right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. The manpower. I mean, look, his.
No,
his,
that's a good point.
That
yeah.
defense.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Think about him going up against Craig Dawson.
Yeah, but I wonder whether or not they might even get, I mean, this is pure conjecture now, but could they even put like a man marker on him? It's such, right. It just, to me, it's so apparent that for West Ham to do well, Antonio needs to do well. That's how it feels. Hmm. So if I'm thinking that, you can imagine that others are as well. So I do wonder whether or not he'll be specifically targeted. I hope not. And we'll see whether or not he can counteract that. But it's an interesting one. And it's a fixture against, as you say, an abject defense with a goalkeeper who's not impressed as well. So yeah, I like him for Watford, and I like him for Villa as well.
Benno says, is KDB droppable for the final three game weeks? What do you think, Brandon?
We don't need 20 seconds for this one, okay, gents? We just say no and we move on. I mean, the classic which FPL asset is no longer valuable because they are dropping deep. Kane, sure. De Bruyne is such a versatile player. If you point to him during that Brighton match and say he was dropping deep, as Tom pointed out, he also missed just by a hair lots of opportunities to haul with FPL points. And considering how valuable he's going to be against Norwich in 38, drop him at your own peril.
Yep. Nothing to add.
Yeah. If you like your whole team structure and you could kind of move him in and out, you know, like I think he's droppable for game week 36. But I'm not sure about, for 37, 38, I feel pretty caught out if I didn't have him. All right. Final question for Tom. FPL Toronto says, keep Wolves assets or sell. They play Burnley, Palace and Chelsea in the final three fixtures.
I think broadly for me, it's a hold. I still really like the Wolves team. I think they were quite harshly criticized after only two relatively disappointing games. I think they do struggle when it's playing three games in a week. It's something I noticed earlier in the season when they in the Europa League as well. I like the team and I like the defense as well. So I would definitely recommend holding. Jimenez as well, I thought was pretty harshly criticized as well. It's just been super reliable for a long time now. He's still great value. So I like him against each of those teams. I would definitely count Chelsea in that, which I said they're a pretty porous team. Willy Bolly is great value. So I'd like them from a defensive perspective. I'd say it's a hold for me. What do you guys reckon?
I think it was interesting that this gent Podence came in and got the start. And I think NES is recognizing that, as you say, like three matches in a week, Tom, there is fatigue that can happen with the squad, that like the starting 11 that's as thin as Wolves can be.
Yeah.
Having some players that can rotate in, the fact that he did rotate in means that he's got a few players that are able to get a little more rest. And I think that they'll come back a little stronger for it. So I think we'll see a decent run in from Wolves. And I just to hang on to that Europa League position, if not push on for Champions League, there's still a lot in it for them.
Yeah. It's a good shout on Podence as well. He was impressive, wasn't he? I think it was his league debut today.
Yeah, he was.
And I think it's a takeaway for next season as well, in terms of when teams play three times in a week, that third game, I think it's worth targeting them, or at least expecting them not to be particularly potent. And to maybe target or look at that as an opportunity to pick up a clean sheet. I really like that as a tactic
was surprised,
for next season.
I was surprised he got the number 10. I didn't know he was. That's a big number. I mean, that feels like that's like a declaration of faith, right?
Yeah, I mean he's an exciting young player. Yeah. I think he's. They do have you're right though, Brandon. I think they've had this secure starting lineup, haven't they, for a long time? But and it's good and it works well and is effective. But it's hard to keep playing Premier League games all the time and expecting them to perform that.
I think it speaks to why people, there are haters out there who think Wolves are boring, because they actually don't have that creative hole player. They don't have it. It's a reason why they might not have somebody with 10 on the back of their kit, is because Neves and Moutinho do that double pivot thing in the midfield, and there's no one that is dedicated to sit right behind Jimenez. It's a lot of wide play where they score a lot of their goals. So if they could actually get every managerial staff out there, every director of football is like, where is the other Bruno Fernandes that exists on this planet? Where is the transformative attacking midfielder that can play in the middle of the park?
Sitting there.
If Wolves actually had that player, they would be, they would be so awesome.
Would you guys say it's it's a buy? Would you say if you don't have them, go ahead and pick them up, or is that too much?
Nah, it's between a hold and a sell for me. I I probably end up having Doherty throughout the rest of the season because all of my transfers will go elsewhere. But I think I would like to have Jesus for game week 38. And yeah. I think that I would find a way to get Jesus in. I think Jimenez Jesus is the move that makes the most sense. So that yeah. is, that's one thing I'm thinking about.
Yeah, it makes sense. Cool.
All right. Well, that's the podcast, gentlemen. Thank you, Tom, so much for being on the podcast. It was really fun.
A pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's always nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah, if you want to find Tom for all of his insights and, of course, what made Tom famous to the world, not just the FPL community, were your amazing match of the day summaries. So Tom is a great place on Twitter to go for great crystal clear encapsulations of the game week. Follow him at UtterlyTC on Twitter. And Tom, you also have a podcast that people can subscribe to that just started. So we're looking for more great things for your podcast to come.
Yeah, that'll all be on my Twitter feed, Brandon, from the beginning of next season. And I'm looking forward to getting that project underway.
Excellent. Yeah, so we'll look forward to that. If you, Tom is a Patreon supporter and has been for a long time. If you want to talk to Tom and me and Brandon and lots of other very smart managers, very entertaining and fun managers, I will say. I'd almost put that in front of the smart and strategy portion of things. You can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Patrons at any pledge level get to join the Always Cheating Slack. And patrons at the Lord Soloth level and up get access to a bonus podcast each week. So learn more at patreon.com/alwayscheating. Brendan, do you want to do a quick thank you to our producer patrons?
You know what? I don't. I think that these producer patrons deserve to have their names properly articulated by
Whoa.
Tom Campbell's beautiful voice. Can you do the honors, Tom?
I'll give it a go. Apologies up front for any pronunciations. But, I hear these every week, so should get them relatively close. So thank you to Trevor Ingerson, Dave Wagner-Lodal, Andy Portlock, Mike DiPietro, Nick Wright, Toothless Gibbon, Chris Howell, Jim Payne, Lindsay Rostel, Andy Penn, Brian Chin, Anton Markov, Martin Savage, Blair Jacobson, FPLmerch.com, Brian T, Frederick Kian Gransky, I think that's right, James Conray, the Big Gaffer, Travis West, Brandon B, Bovis Kun, Alan Creasy, Paul Scanlon, Jeff Husby, Victor Forberg, Skogan, Kieran Skeeton, <Skogan. laughs> James Holland, oh gosh, this is tough now. Is it Kaja? Kaja Christine Lelang, Jazz Binning, Kaya, my apologies, Jazz Binning, and Peter, Bodestel? We'll go with that. Thank you all.
And missing in action, Ben Grant, Paul Herzig, and James Hurd. You guys are all great. And go to alwayscheating.com for all that Patreon information, for ways to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, and all of our social media handles. It's just a great one-stop shop.
Thank you to everyone for listening. Really appreciate it. And good luck to everybody. The game week kicks off on Tuesday with Chelsea Norwich. Should be a very interesting match. So thanks again, Tom, for coming on. And hail cheaters.
Thanks, Tom.
Hail Poku.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0 and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall. The teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars. And that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal. Soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.